thank you all for being here tonight. It has been a beautiful day. A little cloudy outside, but this is March. We expect the cloudy weather and the rain and the wind and the pollen. Anybody fighting problems with pollen tonight? I think we all are. They're all over our car, and probably your nostrils have been filled with those as well. I want to talk to you tonight about how to keep your foot out of your mouth. Anybody here have any problems with that? Several of you? Okay. Well, I see we're addressing the right people here tonight. In the book of Proverbs, the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 1, the Bible tells us of those who speak words, and many of them. But when you think about keeping your foot out of your mouth, you really have to watch your words. Solomon asks the question, he says, Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of a high place, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates and at the entrance of the city, and the coming in at the doors. And unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And you fools, he said, be ye of an understanding heart. And hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. And all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. You know, that particular passage tells me that we do have to watch our words. We have to be very careful of what we say. If you and I are going to be judged by the words that we use, then we all ought to be very careful about how we use our words, how we say it, and what we say. And do you ever notice little children doing this? I mean, they put their foot in their mouth. They do it from an early age, but we do it with our words. Now, that little proverbial idiom actually came from the 18th century, and it really had reference to the idea that people made blunders with their words, and they said, well, the boy, he put his foot in his mouth. But the phrase actually has reference to making a blunder with your words. Have you ever noticed how we have problems understanding one another? Someone said, the recipe said to dice the onion. I went to a lot of effort, but I'm pleased with the result. Instead of cutting the onion up, they'd made it look like a dice. Well, believe it or not, there are people in our world tonight, when you try to get through to them with the Word of God, they're just dense as can be. And it's so hard for them to really grasp what you were saying. Well, with all of that said, I want to tell you how you can keep your foot out of your mouth. Number one, make sure that you speak profitable words. The Bible says that a profitable word or a good word is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. And then you go back to King Solomon. You know, the book of Proverbs, this says it so much, doesn't it? About how we live our lives. I was telling someone yesterday, I don't think there is any book in all of the Bible that deals more with practical lessons than does the book of Proverbs. And in the 18th chapter, in verse 13, Solomon wrote, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Now, if you could kind of digest a little bit of what he's saying here, you would know that there are a lot of people that speak, you know, that try to overspeak the other person. If they would just pause and listen for a little bit, they might really get it. You know, the Bible says that we're to be careful with our words. And when you read over in the book of James, he tells us that we are to watch our words and what we say. Sometimes we just speak flippantly, and we say things that we don't really mean, and sometimes we use those little trite statements instead of really thinking about what we are about to say. You have to listen to the whole thing. In other words, that's what he's saying with those words. But our words are always at work. You ever thought about how often you speak in today's world? I've heard people say of some, well, he's a man of few words. Well, I don't know whether you are or not, and I don't know whether that's really a blessing or not. But there are some people that have few words. And when they speak, they say something that is very meaningful. But a lot of times, we're all guilty of just speaking off the cuff and saying things that probably would be better unsaid. And David, with that in mind, in the book of Psalms 141 and verse 3, he said, set a guard over my mouth, Lord, and keep watch over the door of my lip. You know why? There are times when we should zip our lip. There are times when we should just refuse to say anything, and that way you don't say the wrong thing. Just be careful of what you say. And so he's asking God, help me to say the right thing at the right time and keep watch over the door of my lips. Then in Proverbs 10 and 19, he says, talk too much and it leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. That's why James says that we ought to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And I think one of the reasons he said that, and of course we know it was given by inspiration of God, is because maybe we speak a lot of words that we should not say. And we say it in haste sometimes. And because we say it in haste, somebody might say something to you and make you mad. Well, Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It's amazing, isn't it, how many wars start over words. The problem right now that's going over in Iran started with words. You remember the Cold War we had with Russia? Remember that years ago, the USSR? And they referred to it as a Cold War because it was nothing but words. And we hear the president of Iran say today, you know, we're not going to surrender. We're not giving in. And it's all words. It is all words. But he said, a soft answer turns away wrath. Problems in families start with words. Maybe a husband says something to his wife he shouldn't say. And he angers her, makes her mad, stirs up the wrath inside that woman, and nothing quite like a woman's wrath. And on the other hand, it could be that the woman says something to anger her husband. And you know what? That's the way divorces start. They do. They start over words, not so much actions, but words. In the book of Proverbs 16, again, Solomon said, gracious words, in verse 24, are a honeycomb sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Consider it. Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than for him. Boy, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? There are four things you cannot recover in life. I mean, there are. There are a lot of things, maybe, but there are four that I want us to think about tonight. You cannot recover a stone after it has been thrown. You can't. Can't find it. But sometimes people throw stones and people make judgments like those that had carried the adulterous woman outside the city and they were getting ready to stone her. And then there's the word after it is said. What about that one? When you say something, you can't go back and gather up your words again. The hurt has already been done, or the blessing has already been given. You can't go back and recapture your words. Just cannot do it. Nor, number three, the occasion after it is missed. You remember Christ telling the parable about the wedding feast when he had sent them out to get the guests to come to the wedding feast, and there were none. And he says, well, go out into the highways and the byways and compel them that they may come to the wedding feast, that my house may be filled. If people miss the worship service this morning, you cannot go back and reclaim that worship service. Can't do it. After an occasion has been missed, you cannot go back and change it. The time after it's gone. How many of you turned your clock forward last night? Everybody? Some of you did. I won't embarrass those of you that didn't. But you lost an hour last night. You did. And you can't go back and get it tonight at 2 o'clock. It is gone forever. And time after it is gone is gone. And that's why the Bible speaks with such urgency about getting people to obey the Christ and to become Christians now, N-O-W, not tomorrow, not in the future at some point. But tonight, we sing that song. Why not tonight? Why not tonight? Words kill, but words give life. They're either poison or it's fruit. And that's a choice we make every day. Have you ever thought about the trail of your words? Every day when you go to work, do you leave a trail of poison or do you leave a trail of fruit as it applies to your words? Do people want to be around you the way you talk and the way you speak? Or do they shun you because you're always negative instead of being positive? And that is the way God wants us to live our life. Solomon again said in the book of Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. You know what? You can speak life, or you can speak death into the lives of other people. You can. And it's a choice that every one of us make every day. Speak life. For the book of Psalms 19 and verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the meditation of my heart. You know why that's so important? Because the Bible says a man speaks from his heart. For out of the abundance of the heart doth the mouth speak. And it does. I've heard people use profanity and someone defend them and say, well, you know, they didn't really mean that. They just used those profane words. Now, I appreciate our president, but I don't appreciate his profanity. I don't like to hear him use profane words to describe what's going on in Washington or wherever it may be. Someone once told me years ago, you know, a person that has to resort to using profanity doesn't have a very good vocabulary. And, you know, I think that really is true. And so David is asking the Lord to help him to have the right words at the right time. Words are free. It's how you use them that may cost you. If you say the wrong word at the wrong time, you may have issues that you face. Words are profitable for the saving of the lost. That's why Jesus went out into the world and he started seeking to save the lost. And he gave the great commission unto us to do the same thing. To go out and save them with our words, but let them be the words of Christ in your life. We should speak profitable words for serving God, and that's what we ought to be telling other people. Profitable words for strengthening the weak. Who are the weak? We all are. No one wants to admit that they're weak, but we're all weak. And how thankful and how encouraging it is when someone comes along and speaks the right kind of words at the right time to lift up the spirits of those that are brokenhearted or those who are downtrodden. Secondly, speak pure words. Pure words. Sometimes our words are impure. In Proverbs 18:13, he that hath an answer for a matter before he heareth it, notice what he says again, it is folly and a shame unto him. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. You know what the word edify means? It means to build up. It means to strengthen, to enhance. And he says, don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to those that hear you speak. We should use scriptural language as much as possible. You know, that's why I don't just get up and speak words and I don't give you a reference and telling you where those words are found. I think it's important to tell people, give people a book, chapter, and verse for where it is found. We should use spotless language. Sometimes, unfortunately, people are known by the spotted language that they use. But again, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. We should use saintly language. The Bible speaks about our speech being seasoned with salt. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and following. And the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever, Psalm 12. Pure words. Isn't it interesting that we want pure water? We want food that is pure. We don't want to take anything into the body that is impure, but yet sometimes people will sit and listen to all the garbage that people say, which is just as bad as saying it. But thirdly, speak pleasant words, words that do uplift, words that do encourage. When someone says, you need a beautiful day, don't say, well, what's beautiful about it? You say, well, it is a beautiful day, and it is a beautiful day. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. Again, it's a shame to not watch our words. Someone said appropriately, before you speak, and you know what? If everybody practiced this, we'd have a different world, wouldn't we? Think, is it true? You ever thought about that? What you say, is it true, what you're saying? Is it helpful? Is it encouraging? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary to say it? And is it kind to say it? Philippians 4 and verse 8, and he who makes ways must be prepared to swallow salt water. It's going to happen. So make your words sweet, you may have to eat them. Proverbs 12:18, there is one whose rash words are like swords that are thrust into your gut, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And it does. You know, isn't it astounding how just one little compliment or one little word of encouragement can lift a heart? But it does. You know, there's some people that I'd really love to be around. But because of their positive, optimistic view of life and the way they use their words. Someone said, "Speak life. I matter. I am loved. I can make it. I'm hanging in there. I will not give up. I am blessed. I am a winner. I am more than a conqueror. I have favor with God and with man. God's going to get the glory out of this. I am strong. I am healed. I am whole. I can do this. Yes, I can." Don't you want to be around people that take an attitude like that? I do. I want somebody that can lift me up, not tear me down. We got a lot of people in the world who live to tear down other people. But we must be a people that speak life. Ephesians 4:29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth." None. You know, when I think about the apostles and they went about speaking the truth, I believe that they preached the gospel in love, and that's what Paul said that we are to do. But fourthly, we must speak prepared words. I would be a fool to stand in this pulpit without having prepared to feed you with the words of God. I would. We must speak prepared words. Think about what you're going to say. You know, every week when I start developing an outline for a sermon, I'll first of all stop and think, what does the church really need? What do they need to hear? And then I start developing it from that, and then I started preparing the words as I did for this lesson tonight. But I would be a fool to stand before you without prepared words. In Proverbs 18:13, again, if you answer a matter before you hear it all, it's a shame. The trouble with talking too fast is you may say something you haven't thought of yet. Now consider that one. Always remember to put brain into gear before you engage your mouth. Can't go back and reclaim that word. Proverbs 15:28, "The heart of the righteous studieth the answer." In other words, if someone asks you a question, think about it before you just immediately spout out a bunch of words. Think about it. "For the heart of the righteous will study the answer, but the mouth of the wicked will just pour out evil things." But you know what? The key is preparation. It is. Has always been. "So fill your heart with Scripture. Thy word," David said, "have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Focus on doing right, not what makes you feel good, but what is right in God's sight, and find God's will for your, we always say for the life, but find God's will for your conversation. In 1 Peter 3:10, Peter said, "If you want to enjoy life and you want to see many happy days," which all of us no doubt want, he says, "to keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies." It's amazing when you go back through the Bible and how many verses that really apply to how we use our word. Someone appropriately said, "To watch your thoughts, for they will become your words. Watch your words, for they will become your actions. And watch your actions, for they will become your habits. And watch your habits, for they will become your character. And watch your character, for it becomes your destiny." And James 1:26, he said, "If you claim to be religious, but you don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and your religion is in vain or worthless." And last of all, speak truthful words. Speak things that are right in the sight of God. I saw this little thing one time, not just a picture, but I actually saw it. It was at the corner of truth and love. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be wonderful to live at the corner of truth and love? I had a sister that used to live over in Longview. And anyway, she lived at the corner of Sunshine and Happiness Street. And I thought, well, wouldn't that be a good place to live as well? But think about living at the corner of truth and love. And you know what? When they meet, we speak. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him, who is the head, even Christ, our Lord. You see, the great advantage of speaking the truth is that you don't have to remember what you said. Maybe you ought to really examine your words tonight. Think about what you said, how you said it. If we're going to be judged by words, and Matthew 12 says that, for by your words you will be justified, or by your words you'll be condemned. You mean our going to heaven could depend upon the way we use our words? That's exactly what he said. And he intended for us to get the message, and I hope you did tonight. Let us stand and let us sing.